Wonderful to have you all here. My name is Mason Allgaier. I am not the pastor at the Stream. That's Kevin Scott. He and his family are out of town this weekend. They're out back east for Kevin and Lauren's son Jordan's college graduation. So they've been enjoying that time together. I saw some pictures online yesterday. It looked like a joyous time for them. So I'm here this morning. The elders asked me if I would give the message this morning for Mother's Day. So I appreciate the opportunity from them and to be in front of all of you this morning to share the word with you and to give glory to God. Of course, it's Mother's Day today. And so we want to wish all of you mothers a wonderful Mother's Day. We're going to talk about what it's the experience of a mother, what it's like to be a mother, and what Scripture has to tell us as how we, the duties of a mother, and how we as children can respond to our mothers. So we want to wish you all just a wonderful Mother's Day here this morning. And so, brothers and sisters in Christ, as we celebrate Mother's Day today, it's a joy to reflect on the impact mothers can have on our lives. The role of a parent in the life of a child can't be overstated. Our parents, especially our mothers, nurture us and guide us on our journey through life from the moment of our conception. Scripture outlines and gives us examples of the role of a mother, her duties as a believer, caretaker, teacher, and so much more. As we think of our own mothers and the way they influenced us and our lives, what comes to mind? Perhaps you think of how your mother was a devoted believer, how she modeled godly living for you and shared her wisdom. For those of you like me who didn't grow up in the church, maybe you think of how our mothers didn't know God or profess belief in him, and yet our mothers still impacted our lives and revealed great wisdom to us. Even wisdom that now, as believers in Christ, we may see falls far more in line with God's teachings and ways than we ever realized or our mothers might ever be willing to admit. I think of back after when I was getting ready to graduate college, when I was getting diagnosed with my chronic kidney disease that some of you may know I was diagnosed with several years ago. And it was a very stressful, very dynamic time in my life. 3 months away from graduating college, 4 months away from starting my dream job in law enforcement, and my world was turned upside down. And I will always remember the way that God worked in my life and the way that he sustained me through that season, through about a year and a half's worth of chemo and steroid treatments and things that I still live with today, since it's not a curable disease. But I remember during that time that I was up in Reno getting ready to graduate from UNR, and my mom drove up and with my dad that night when I was in the hospital getting diagnosed. And from then on, they probably spent near 2 whole weeks in Reno with me, visiting doctors almost daily, figuring out what was going on, taking a huge amount of notes to fill a notebook with things the doctors were saying that I couldn't possibly remember at the time, since it was all such a shock. And I remember having to make a lot of decisions and changes in my life for diet and other things. And I remember my mom coming alongside me and helping me be able to make a lot of those changes, make a lot of those choices, doing a lot of research. And without her, without my dad, and certainly without my Abba Father, the Lord, I wouldn't be here today and I wouldn't have made it through that very difficult season. He and they brought me through it and had a tremendous impact on my life in that moment. Today, we're going to focus on a passage from Proverbs that speaks to the importance of listening to and heeding the teachings and wisdom of our mothers as we celebrate Mother's Day today. Before we do that, please join me in prayer as we ask God to prepare our hearts to hear his word this morning. Father God, we just come to you and we're grateful for the opportunity to gather together this morning. We're grateful for the opportunity to just sing praises to you and to worship you, to hear your word preached this morning. We just pray that your spirit would fall upon this place, that your word would come alive to us, and that you would impress all that you have to teach us on our hearts here this morning as we celebrate Mother's Day this day and as we celebrate and look to you and to Christ as the founder and perfecter of our faith. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Our passage this morning is Proverbs chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. It reads, "Listen, my son, to your father's instructions, and do not forsake your mother's teachings. They are a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teachings. They are a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck. The book of Proverbs is filled with wisdom. The Proverbs are short, pithy sayings that express timeless truth and wisdom. They're designed to stop us as their reader in our tracks and cause us to reflect on how we might apply these divine principles to life situations. Proverbs contain insights both in poetry and prose. Yet at the same time, it includes commands to be obeyed. The twofold purpose of this book is first, to produce the skill of godly living by wisdom and instruction. To produce the skill of godly living by wisdom and instruction. And second, to develop discernment in the reader. The book of Proverbs serves as a wealth of practical knowledge, direction, and experience on how to live a life that is pleasing to God. A life that seeks to know and practice his ways and not the ways of the flesh or of this fallen world. By seeking this heavenly wisdom, opening our hearts and adopting them as our own, we can be conformed into the image of Christ and live as God intended. The first 9 chapters of Proverbs are unique in that they are framed in the voice of parents seeking to share the wisdom and teachings they have gained from God with their children. Throughout these chapters are prefaces appearing before wise insights that echo similar language to the passage and message that we're looking at this morning of Proverbs chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. These similar refrains include verses like Proverbs 2, verses 1 and 2. My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding. Or chapter 3. Verses 1 and 2. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For the length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Proverbs 4, 1 through 2. Hear, O sons, a father's instruction, and be attentive, that you may gain insight, for I give good precepts. Do not forsake my teaching. Proverbs 5, verses 1 and 2. My son, be attentive to my wisdom. Incline your ear to my understanding, that you may keep discretion and your lips may guard knowledge. And Proverbs 7, 1 through 2. My son, keep my words and treasure up my commandments, that you keep my commandments and live. Keep my teachings as the apple of your eye. These verses, much like our verse this morning, urge us to heed and value the wisdom and instruction that we receive from both our fathers and mothers. Specifically, today's passage, Proverbs 1, 8 through 9, explicitly directs us to ensure we do not forsake this insight. This implies that there is great wisdom to be gained from both parents, and that we should be attentive to the guidance that they offer us. It is important to point out that these verses apply both to our fathers and our mothers. But in honor of Mother's Day today, we're focusing on mothers. But the teachings of these verses can be applied to either parent. Verse 8 this morning goes on to emphasize listening to our mother's teachings, which brings us to our first of 3 points. We must listen to the teachings of godly mothers. Verse 8 puts this direction plainly. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. As I mentioned earlier, the connection between a mother and her child is a special one. God designed mothers to carry their children as a part of them until they are born into this world. Thereafter, this deep-seated attachment takes on a new life. As a mother's God-given nature and duty is to raise her child, teaching them, providing for them and their needs, sacrificing for them, and much more. As a result, children are instructed to listen to their mothers, learning from their example in teaching that they might learn how to live well. As we seek to explore and abide in the scriptural directive presented to us here in verse 8, it's important to first establish and understand where this motherly wisdom comes from. Where does this motherly wisdom come from? Mothers, like all of us, as God's creation, are called to live a life that humbly submits to and walks with God. We are called to repent of our sins, profess faith in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and live a life that chases after Him and is pleasing in His sight. Mothers are no exception. Mothers are called to study the Scriptures, to learn who God is, what He has done, to live in light of the profound truth of the gospel and God's abundant mercy and grace. Mothers should prayerfully seek God's wisdom and direction for their lives, the lives of their children, and their family. They should actively engage in a church body and serve the kingdom of God faithfully, giving glory to Him. When mothers give their lives over to God and walk with Him, they fulfill God's calling on their lives. They live in right relationship with Him, bearing out the fruits of the Spirit as evidence of their righteousness. But more than that, godly mothers also open themselves to other wonderful works God has for them. Mothers are commanded to teach their children of saving faith in Christ, repentance of sin, and the merciful love of the triune God. Mothers are ultimately called to love the Lord, living a life glorifying to Him, and to evangelize about God for others to see by word and deed, especially their children. As a part of this, mothers are scripturally instructed to impress upon their children the glory of God and salvation found in the gospel. This idea comes from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9, which say, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your house and on your gates." Mothers, like us all, should keep God as the king of their hearts, like we sang this morning, continuously sharing who He is as a natural outflow of their love for the Lord with their children, with neighbors, and in how they live their lives. As children, when we have parents who faithfully live their lives for God in light of the truth of the gospel, we can trust in the wisdom that they impart to us, because ultimately it comes from God and a renewed heart that's given by Him. Psalm 37, verse 30 echoes this idea. "The mouth of the righteous utter wisdom, and their tongues speak what is just." When mothers, as any believer, live a life changed by belief in God and His great mercy, they are given a new heart, one that chases after Him in His ways instead of the ways of this world, one that seeks wisdom rather than folly. And verse 8 commands us to listen to our parents as they walk in this righteousness. As Proverbs tells us, we must not abandon these teachings. Instead, we must rest in them as we ultimately rest in God and His divine wisdom. After all, I ask you to consider the implication of verse 8. Here we are told directly in Scripture that we are to listen to our father's instruction and do not forsake your mother's teachings. If we renounce this wisdom given to us by our godly mothers and even our godly fathers, then do we not ultimately reject wisdom, the wisdom of God Himself, beloved? Instead, let us follow these words presented to us here in Proverbs. Not forsaking our mother's teaching, listening to our father's instruction, and not ultimately rejecting the wisdom that can come from God and from following Him. Let's seek out and listen to our mother's wisdom as she walks with God. Let us treasure it. Let us value it, and let us not forsake it. This brings us to our second point this morning. We must value the teachings of godly mothers. We must value the teachings of godly mothers. Verse 2 tells us, our parents' teachings are a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck. A garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck. This verse further speaks to how we are to treat and to respond to our father and mother's faithful wisdom. To help us understand this, it's important to understand some context here. In ancient times, garlands and chains were symbols of honor and distinction. And the writer of Proverbs uses this imagery, to illustrate the value of the teachings that a parent, and as we're focusing on today, a mother, passes down to her children. This garland and chain mentioned here represent not only honor and distinction, but also protection and guidance. A mother's faithful teachings can serve as a guide to help her children navigate the challenges of life and can provide them with a sense of security and stability. When children follow their mother's advice and teachings, they are more likely to make prudent and safe choices. So kids, listen to your mothers. And they're better able to avoid pitfalls. Consider a time, beloved, when your mother gave you advice when you faced a crossroad in your life or maybe a difficult decision. Did you listen to or value that instruction? Did you reject it for your own take or that of another? In either case, consider how that experience altered how you heeded or treasured your mother's insight thereafter. If we are to follow the direction Scripture gives us here in verse 9, then we must place a high value on the teachings and insight passed down by our parents. Proverbs 16:16 serves to illustrate the true value of godly wisdom, and tells us, how much better to get wisdom than gold, to get insight rather than silver. How much better to get wisdom than gold, to get insight than silver. Godly wisdom is valuable, beloved. It's more valuable than gold, than silver, or anything on this earth. It never runs out. It never decays, never loses its value. And instead, it gives great value, great peace, and provides a wealth of a different kind that lasts forever and can be used wherever you are. In godly wisdom, we can find peace, we can find rest, we can find safety, security, and truth. Truth that ultimately comes from God and can have application throughout life and all creation. Proverbs 4:6 says, do not forsake wisdom, and she will protect you. Love her, and she will teach you. In heeding and treasuring wisdom from our godly mothers, we are more likely to abide in God and live in a way that is pleasing in his sight. As we study this implication further, we seek deeper into the meaning of this passage, bringing us to our third point. We must listen to our Heavenly Father and value his wisdom. We must listen to our Heavenly Father and value his wisdom. God is the creator of you. He's the creator of me and all things, brothers and sisters. Genesis tells us the story of how God gave life to all creation, how he shaped the earth, the land, the seas, how he breathed life into man and everything living on the earth therein. We are all children of God, and he is our Heavenly Father. We are his workmanship. Just as mothers nurture, guide, protect, teach, and love their children, God uses motherhood as a symbol for how he too nurtures, guides, protects, teaches, and loves us as his creation. God is the ultimate source of all wisdom and all life. His wisdom is like no other. It abounds in truth, peace, love, mercy, and grace. And it is devoid of hate, jealousy, anger, bias, or sin. James 3:17 illustrates this idea by saying, but the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. These attributes and characteristics of God's wisdom are the same as Yahweh himself. God freely gives his wisdom to fathers, to mothers, and to all who believe in him. You too can have this wisdom. God's wisdom comes in the form of scriptures. They testify of him, of the gospel, of his son, and of the spirit, that we might ask him, that we might seek him, that we might know him more deeply, that we might commune with our heavenly Father, walking by faith the race set out before us. Getting this wealth or wisdom and communing with the living God is simple, beloved. You don't have to jump through a ton of hoops. You don't have to make a lot of money to buy it. Works and wealth cannot buy you true wisdom, true grace, true mercy, true love, and everlasting peace. The only path to God and righteousness is through the gospel. The only path to God and righteousness is through the gospel, through Jesus Christ. Jesus was God's son who took on flesh, was blameless and without sin, who was crucified for the sins of man, died, was buried, and was raised on the third day, and now sits forevermore at the right hand of God and the throne of God in heaven. John 1:14 testifies to this and says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." Jesus is, as John tells us, the way, the truth, and the life, as his scriptures tell us in chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to God, the Father. No one gains his wisdom except through Christ Jesus. And in Christ, we are all the sons of God through faith, as Galatians 3:26 tells us. In Christ Jesus, we are all sons of God through faith. So I urge you, beloved brothers and sisters, I urge you to repent. I urge you to believe in the risen King and to listen to our Heavenly Father and value his wisdom. To ignore Christ not only ignores God, but is a choice to be a fool lacking any insight. Proverbs 1:7 tells us this and happens just before our passage this morning and tells us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, and fools despise wisdom and instruction. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and fools despise wisdom and instruction. So which are you, beloved? Someone who fears the Lord, who values him and his wisdom, or a fool that despises wisdom and instruction? As believers, we should have a reverence for God. This reverential awe and submissive fear is foundational for all spiritual knowledge, wisdom, and our own salvation. Just as we should listen to and value our mother's teachings, we must likewise heed and treasure up the teachings of our Heavenly Father, who gave us life in our mother's wombs. We can only do this through repentance and belief in the risen King, Jesus Christ, and our God above, because as Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." As God's creation, as his workmanship, let us rest in him, in the risen King, and let's walk in the good works that he set before us. As we seek to apply these verses to our lives and allow them to sink more deeply into our hearts, let us consider the attitude of our hearts. As we consider the attitude of our hearts this morning with three takeaways for our lives as mothers, as children, and ultimately as believers in the everlasting God. As we consider these takeaways this morning, I ask you, mothers, do you know God? What is the attitude of your heart towards him? Has your heart been renewed in his divine truth? And is he the king of your heart, like we sang this morning, through faith alone in Christ alone? If so, I ask you, do you lead your children in light of this great mercy and wisdom? Do you instruct them in walking by faith and not by sight, sharing with them God's insight and truth? If not, I implore you to repent of your sin, ask God to forgive you for your transgressions, and be made new in the light, all in the light of God and all that Christ has done for you, that you might be saved and begin this new journey that God has intended for you as his own child in creation. And children, we all come from mothers, no matter how old we are. Do we listen to and value our mother's instruction? Do we seek to honor God in this way and to abide in him and his teachings? If not, I encourage you to wrestle with these verses and prayerfully ask God to open your heart to your mother's wisdom and godly instruction. And to all of us, as God's children, all of us gathered here, beloved, do we know our Heavenly Father, our Abba Father who breathed life into us, who lavishes his love on us? Who lavishes his love on us? Our Abba Father breathed life into us, lavished his love on us, his mercy and his grace, and does so daily. He gives his wisdom and everlasting life freely to all those who call upon his name. So do we ceaselessly strive to know him more and more, seeking out his word, his ways, and his wisdom until we're called home? We should all ponder these questions and the biblical truths that we have here today. That in the power of spirit, love, grace, and truth, God might change our hearts or continue to do so this day and all of our days. That we might walk the narrow path that leads to life found in him and in Jesus Christ, not the wide and easy path of sin that leads only to death. As we wrap up this morning and celebrate Mother's Day, let's honor and give thanks for the mothers in our lives. Let us listen to and value their teachings, and let us seek to emulate their examples of godliness, selfless love, and care. And let us remember that ultimately, it is God who is our true Abba Father, who loves us with steadfast, unchanging love. I want to take this opportunity, and we'll have an opportunity again after we sing here our last song in just a moment. But I want to take this opportunity before we pray and sing one last song to invite anyone here with their mother or any mothers gathered here this morning to come up and take a flower from either side of the stage this morning. Accept this as a token of our gratitude and love for you this day and every day. As we prepare to pray for you and everyone gathered here this morning, at any time here as we conclude our service, we would love for you to take a flower or a rose here this morning. On the far right of the stage, there are flowers that don't have thorns. The middle two have a few, so just be careful or gentle as you take them. Take one, take two, there's plenty. When the children come back from Kids Creek, they're welcome to take one and hand it to their mothers if they'd like, as we celebrate you this morning. So as we pray for you, and we pray for everyone gathered here this morning. If you would all pray with me. Father God, we just come to you, and we're grateful for this opportunity to gather this morning, to hear your word, to seek some of the wisdom that you have for us in your Proverbs. We just pray that we would just continue to open our hearts to you, that we would seek you as the king of our hearts, that we would honor you, Father, in the way that we listen and heed and treasure the wisdom of our godly parents and ultimately, Father, you and your wisdom. We pray you would continue to impress this wisdom upon our hearts. Give us a thirst to chase after you, to know you more deeply, more profoundly, and to ultimately know Christ, our Lord and Savior, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who went up on a cross and died that we might be reconciled with you. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. I want to invite our worship team up.